Good morning.
Thank you for letting me be with you and speak with you this morning. This morning I'll speak about love. When I was studying for this, I thought of a song. I forgot who sang it, and many people have sang it, but Dionne Warwick sang it. You know, what the world needs now is sweet, sweet love. And I find that here. We have it in our hearts given to us through Jesus. We are the ambassadors of love. And that's the only thing that's going to bring any hope to this world is through us, the love that we have in our hearts. So the love that we've received has been from God, and God is love. And everybody needs love. That's a fact. Not everybody gets what they need. There's a lot of evil in this world, but everybody needs love. And God has amazing love, and has demonstrated that time and time again. We've just celebrated the greatest act of love, and that's Jesus dying on the cross for us. No greater love than what He showed for us. How can we love like God? The question is, do we want to love like Him? I want to love like Him. I want to be able to love like God. So we're getting ready to go into the holiday season. And truth be told, there's just some hard people to love. Some people are just hard to love. Holiday season, we're going to be gathering with family. Some families, there's some difficult people to love. And the holiday season brings us together. You know what? Everybody's different. Everybody had a different childhood. They've been through a lot. And when we get together, you know, some of that stuff is some people have trouble dealing with that stuff. But they need love. Even those difficult relatives, siblings, uncles, crazy uncles. There's hard people to love in the church. Truth be told. You know, we're from all different walks of earth. We're different financially, different backgrounds, different way of being brought up. And it is hard to love some people in the Lord's church. Or at work. Now, I'm construction. You know, I do one job and I move on to the next. I am blessed with that. I couldn't imagine working with the same people in an enclosed area for a long period of time. I know that there have been people, it might still be in your workplace, that are just hard to love. And you might feel it's impossible to love them. You know, you go to a store, and I don't know if this happened to you, but you go into a store and you go to a checkout, not self-checkout, but someone's checking you out, and they do not make eye contact. They're on their cell phone. They act like you don't even exist. Now, I don't know about you, but I leave there and I'm going back out, you know, and I said, Tina, they didn't even acknowledge my presence. You know, the service industry is, people don't know how to talk to people, but they need love. So all these people need love. I got to put my glasses on. You know, we marvel at Jesus' love for us, you know. And we accept His love. As Christians, we've accepted Jesus' love for us. We've accepted that He died for us. But can we love like Him? We look at Jesus and we look at the love that He showed others. But can we love others like Him? In Matthew, what we read, Matthew chapter 5, verses 44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And that's exactly what we do. We say, well, yes, Jesus, but you're God. You know, that's what He did. He says in John chapter 15, verses 12 through 13. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. Yes, Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, verse 7, it says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. And we might do that for a good person. But we just celebrated, or we just remember Jesus and celebrating His being our Savior and Him saving us from death on the cross. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. So He took that's the ultimate act of love. He saved us while we were still in our sins, you know. Very unlovable people. But that's what Jesus did. So, the question I have for you is, do you ever ask God, you know, how can you love me? You know, do you ever think, how can God love me? And marvel at the fact of how broken you are and how He's working on us. And just say, God, how can you love me? Does that blow your mind? That kind of helps us when we look at other people. You know, we never lose sight of the grace that God is continually giving to us every day of our lives. Like Brother Weston says, knowing and unknowingly. I mean, how much grace do we need from the Lord? And that helps us with people that are difficult to love. Because truth be told, we are all difficult to love. I don't care how sweet you are. You're not sweet all the time. It's difficult to love us at sometimes. So if you turn your Bibles to Malachi, now it's a small book. It's the last book of the Old Testament. You know, we look at Jesus' love for us on the cross, but God is love. God has demonstrated His love all throughout His Word. God's demonstrated His love. We talked about discipline this morning in Jerry's class, talking about Proverbs and how God disciplines those He loves. And if you look at the discipline that God gave to Israel, some of it is very stern discipline. I mean, there was some... He allowed some hard things to happen to His people, the Israelites. You think about the venomous snakes that went into the camp. Some died. A lot of them were bitten. If they looked to the bronze serpent on the staff, you know, they were saved. But that was harsh. If you look at them wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't have enough faith to go into the promised land. Or even Moses not being able to make it to the promised land. I mean, God's discipline can be hard. The Babylonians and the Assyrians, these nations that were just vile and brutal, He allowed them to come take His people into captivity. And we look at that and that's like, man, that's really harsh. Now, in my mind, the conclusion I've come to is God loved Israel. We know that. And He demonstrated that again and again. And He loves us. But He disciplines us. And I believe that God's discipline is perfect. It's out of love. God does not lose His temper. He does not lose control over His emotions like we do. Does He get angry? Yes, He gets angry. Does He get hurt? He gets hurt. But He loves. And He wants the best for everybody. So keeping that in mind, I just want to look at Malachi. Now I'm going to start in chapter 1 and I'm just going to take some verses. What I'm going to look at is these Israelites that we look at all the time, don't we? We look at Israel and we say, how could they do that to the Lord? You know? We're Israel. We hurt the Lord. We anger the Lord, don't we? So, but I want you to imagine, put yourself, you can't be God, but feel what you would feel if Israel was to do this to you. So if we start in chapter 1, verses 6 and 8. And it reads, a son honors his father and a slave his master. If I'm a father, where is the honor due me? If I'm a master, where is the respect due to me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible when you offer blind animals for sacrifice. Is this not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Tell you what, try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? We're supposed to bring the best to the Lord, to sacrifice our best. The first fruits is what we say. And they were bringing blind and diseased animals and sacrificing them to Him. And this is what God is putting up with or has to put up with, but He's calling them out. And that's what He's doing. In chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, Malachi chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, they're unfaithful. Do we not all have one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do you profane the covenant of our ancestors by being unfaithful to one another? Judah has been unfaithful. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves by marrying women who worship a foreign god. As for man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord remove him from the tent of Jacob, even though he brings an offering to the Lord Almighty. He wants obedience, not sacrifice, over sacrifice. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because He no longer looks with favor on your offering or accepts them with pleasure from your hand. You ask, why? It is because the Lord is the witness between you and the wife of your youth. You have been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. So this is more of what they're doing. This is what God's people are partaking in. Marrying women that worship foreign gods and being unfaithful to their wives. Chapter 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied Him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord. And He is pleased with them. Well, where is this God of justice? So they're calling evil good. Well, in chapter 3, verse 6, God says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. So if you look at Israel, and God's calling them out, He's going to them and He's calling them out, and they're doing detestable things. They're wearing His name. They are God's people, and they are doing these things. Now, what gets me and the act of love that I get is right after that. After they've done all these things and He's called them out on it, what does God say? He says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Just come back to me. You know, you think of when He went to Cain. He said, Cain, if you do what's right, will you not be accepted? And here's the thing. We're talking about discipline in Proverbs this morning. God doesn't have to go to Cain and say, look, do what's right and you will be accepted. God doesn't have to go to Israel and say, look, this is what you're doing wrong. Stop doing it. Come back to me. He doesn't have to say a thing. He doesn't have to say a thing to us. He is God Almighty. He can just make us disappear. You know, when we think He disciplines those He loves, how patient is the Lord? with you. He says, but you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse. Bring your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. There may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw up the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops and the vines in your field. Will not drop fruit from before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. How many times, this is what's going on with Israel at this time. They're going through the motions. They're doing, well, you know, I'm bringing an animal and I'm going to sacrifice it to the Lord, but it's a blind animal. And what we need to be careful of, and what we probably all are guilty of, we're here right now, we're worshiping the Lord. It's what we do. We're creatures of habit. It's a good habit to gather together. And we're not supposed to not stop meeting together. But what's our heart like every week? Is our heart right every week? What are we offering to the Lord when we come to worship Him? We've got all these problems in the world. We've got problems in our family. We've got struggles of our own. What is your worship to the Lord? Because if it's not right, that's what happened to Israel. You're not giving to the Lord what He deserves. When we come together, I'm guilty of it. I've been overrun. We are here to forget and to worship the Lord Almighty in His presence together as a church. Well, He's patient and He's very merciful. So the love of God, do we want to love like God? I'll tell you right now, I want to love like God. I want to be able to love without fear. I want to be able to love my enemies, even though it hurts. It's a struggle, isn't it? We need to be, I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of this. Because I didn't say anything to that kid at the cash register. I could have spoke to that kid. I could have shown some love to that young man. I could have. By just opening my mouth and being the one to love him. Instead of not being able to accept it and maybe getting my feelings hurt a little bit. You know, you don't treat me like I'm a person, you know. But I could love him. You know, at Thanksgiving, that family member that you really just kind of just stay away from, you know, you could actually show them a little love at during the holidays or at church. Instead of trying to kind of stay on your side of the church and stay away from that person, you know, you could reach out. We've got something that no one else has. God's love is... it's like no other. You can't find it out in the world, can you? It's not there. I think that's why we're all here. Someone brought us to church, a church full of love like this one. And we said, those people are a little strange. But they're different. They love like nothing else I've ever experienced before. God puts His heart out there. How do we love? God puts His heart out there. These people are, His people are doing them wrong. Have you ever loved somebody? I mean, loved them. Looked out for them. Been loyal to them. And then had them hurt you. You know, that's a hurt right there. That's a hurt that's hard to get rid of. But what does God do? He's hurt. Let me tell you, God gets angry, and we know that. Doesn't lose his temper, but he gets angry. But he gets hurt. We hurt him. We hurt our Savior when we do wrong. We hurt him when we don't, when we ignore him, when we don't spend enough time talking with him, reading his word, getting together with our brothers and sisters. We hurt his feelings. But what does he do? He says, return to me. Can we do that with someone that has hurt us? Could we take them right back if they repented? We can forgive them from afar. Don't we like that? We like to forgive people. Oh, yeah, I forgive them. And don't want, you know, as long as I don't see them, you know, that's okay. Or the people that are hard to love. But God takes us right back. Each one of us, he takes us right back. That is amazing love. I can't comprehend it. You can't comprehend it. But can we try? Do we need to try harder? Because the world really does need love. And it's really in these, it's in these times where we meet people. It's at the counter. It's at Thanksgiving. You know? It's at work. And it's hard to do. I'm in awe of how God can love and how He can forgive. And in this flesh of mine and my emotions. And I think the biggest thing about it is fear. God doesn't have fear. Jesus didn't have fear. He walked up to the leper when no one else would talk to him. You know, he told Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree. How many other people did he encounter where other people wouldn't? You know, what we don't want to be is the priest that walked around the guy that got beat up. But do we do that? There's some rough people in this world. I was at Food Line the other day, and this couple was in there, and they were wearing pajamas. And look, I didn't say, now I'm not saying I could have said nothing to them, but I just, man, you're wearing pajama bottoms, man. Like, and they matched. And I'm thinking, but there's some people that, that's, truth be told, there's some people that we're not going up to, or we don't want to. And my point this morning is that God loves everybody. And that we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the gospel. We've got the good news. We've got the love inside of us. And we withhold it from some people that need it. Because they're strange. Yeah, that's right. They're strange. And it seems like maybe I'm just getting older, but it seems like the stranger and stranger they get. But they need love. So, and that's our responsibility. We're going to be held accountable. Hey, I loved you, Chuck. Why are you not talking to that person? Jesus said, do likewise. He washed the disciples' feet. He said, do likewise. It's just, Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 18. This is what we need to do. Romans chapter 12, 9 through 18. Love must be sincere. We need to keep our hearts right. We need to keep resentment, hate, fear out of our hearts. Because if we don't, we can't be sincere. Love must be sincere. We need to hate what is evil, not accepting of it, and cling to what is good. We need to be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above ourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. We come here on Sunday, but it's good to get together. It's good to encourage one another. It's good. We come together to worship the Lord, but we serve Him out there in the world when we're spreading the gospel and we're loving on undesirable people. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We need to pray all the time. Pray more, people. Pray more. Talking to myself. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Look at this one. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people in low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And as we were studying this morning, the biggest word that I saw in Proverbs that I want is peace. Peace in my life, peace in this world, peace. And it is, you can't buy peace. You can't buy it. And it's worth more than anything. And here's why we do it, because we got Russ working his ministry. Speed is coming, and he's coming back. And Russ is Russ is working hard to bring him back. So he's coming back. Time's running out, is my point. And for the Lord is not slow in keeping His promises, some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He wants everyone to come to repentance. God is love. But there's going to come a time where time's up. We're not promised tomorrow. We're thankful for today, but we're not promised tomorrow. And He's coming back. And God does have wrath. The wrath of God is coming on those who do not love Him. Because Jesus is our only shield from that wrath. So we need to save as many people as we can. And the love that we have is the strongest thing on earth. It's the strongest thing in this life is the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts. We all have it in our hearts. We got to get it out there. And we got to give it to everybody. And not look down on anybody. Just like Jesus did for us. We're not all lovable. As sweet as some people are. God loved us enough to give His only Son. But He did it for the whole world, not just for us. We need to share that. So especially with the holiday season coming up, people are crazy now, but it gets a little extra crazy. And try to love this week. Try to love the rest of your life, but make a conscious effort. And I will too, to talk to those people that are kind of hard to love and to show them a little bit of love. Because people are watching us. When you're in a checkout line and you show love like that, people see that. You don't know what kind of impact you're going to have. What we do with our love, let's put it this way. What we do with our sin impacts and sends ripples. Our sin has consequences that we don't even know. That goes through generations of family, that go through, well, you hear about it everywhere. But the same is with love. You know, I listen to our brother who has grown up here, Tyron, I listened to it, and I called that man up and I said, "Brother, I am so proud of you." I was so proud of him. You know, he told me he called a bunch of people. I said, "I bet your father's proud of you." He said, yeah, my dad said. So from your love, and it's love for you to let me even speak today, but to this family has helped raise that young man, still showing him love. And that ripple effect of you giving him the opportunity to speak here last week, there's no telling. That love that we've shown him is rippling. So what I'm getting at is, that little conversation you're going to have with someone, you have no idea who they're going to tell that to. Love is a powerful thing. Sin is powerful, but love overcomes sin. So that's what I want to leave you with. And if we need any, of course, if we need any prayers, if you need us to pray for you, we can pray for you as we offer an invitation song. Thank you. Thank you so much.